You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Martin, I'm your host, and tonight I am joined by, I'm guessing I cut out there because I can just see the look of confusion on Richie and Alex's face. So hello and welcome to the Rangers Rabble podcast. My internet is intermittently cutting out just as we begin, which is always a good start to the show. I hope you're all well. It's Friday. It's a Rabble Extra. We're taking things a wee bit slower. It's a bit of fun. Friday night, grab a beer, join in. Because it's a Friday, because it's Rabble Extra, and because we've basically got a few items to talk about, but I would like to get your comments in, and if there's stuff that you want to talk about that perhaps we don't bring up, and that you want us to discuss, we most certainly shall. Get your comments in, please get liking and subscribing and all that good stuff as well. It really helps the channel along. Now, I have to apologise to everybody watching, because this is going to be the most middle-class Rangers Rabble there has ever been. For I am joined by the Mercurial, Richie. Richie, how are you?
Very good. Thanks, Martin. Yeah, it's good to be on with you. It's been a month or so now, I'd say. I'm not sure about your opening remarks, but yeah, delighted to be here and yeah, looking forward to chatting more about how amazing we are and how we're going to absolutely coast to a league victory.
Oh, yeah, I don't know how much of my intro went out there because I could just see the confusion on people's faces, which means that my internet probably did cut out at some point. And of course, severely sounds harsh, but the severely upper class, Alex, how are you?
I don't know about that, Martin. Yeah, and a selection of English accents and yourself just to bring the salt
just
to of the
balance
earth.
It. Just to balance yeah, it.
Balance with the salt of the earth there. But no, I'm good. Out on the training field, probably about 20 minutes before now as well, but nothing as intense as what's been going on at, I was going to say Murray Park for a second there, Auchenhowie. Just really looking forward to this weekend. Another chance to, as I said, every match now, another chance to go top on goal difference. So, yeah, it's exciting times.
We're going to start with that, right? We're going to start with Ross County, obviously. Excuse me, can I just say to people in the comments, see your comments that come in, I'm going to start them so I can come back to them. So see if you comment and I don't bring it up and you think I'm ignoring you, I'm not. I'm starting them and I'm going to bring them up as and when we come into the show with them, unless something really, really amazing pops up, and then I'll bring it up straight away. So, Richie, let's jump straight into the Ross County game. Listen, I thought, yeah, we didn't get the amount of goals that we wanted, right? See if you actually look at the performance as a whole. Take away the missed chances, we'll come back to that, right? But the actual performance compared to the start of the season under Michael Beale, it confuses me that we don't have a full set of supporters on social media and on podcasts waxing lyrical about that performance. 43 shots on goal, 43 shots, sorry, 23 on target. We absolutely dominated. We slipped up once and it cost us a goal, big wow. But I thought the performance was excellent for this Rangers team, and how we can, as a support, take confidence for that blows my mind.
No, I know. I do agree with you. I mean, I was absolutely thrilled by the first half performance, and then I was going having a quick look on a couple of group chats and social media, as you do, and I was quite surprised by the general consensus that it was sort of incredibly frustrating and, you know, really emphasising the chances that we've missed, because the looking, I mean, you touched upon where we've come from. I mean, I've got to be honest, I'd kind of written off this season at the point at which Beer left. I thought we've probably got a little bit too much to do here, and we're already looking at a rebuild. You look at the form of the signings that had come in the summer, on the whole unsuccessful, and you know, it just looked like we were so far off it. And then to see, you know, how we've been able to galvanize and really sort of develop a brand of football, which, let's not forget, you know, we spent the first third of the season talking about how none of us could understand what the team were trying to do. There was no sense of structure or formation. The players didn't appear to know what Beale was trying to do, if he even knew himself. So to think of where we've come from is quite remarkable. And I do get the frustration to a certain extent, because of course we should convert more chances, but you have to look at the nature of, you know, some of the things at play there. You've got a goalkeeper going from the sublime to the ridiculous. You've got chances that have been really close. We're not talking about, you know, a series of chances that have been sort of ballooned into the stands. And I think, you know, in terms of the style of play, you know, aside from primarily, well, first and foremost, following Rangers, we also want to watch decent football. It's not just a case of, you know, desperately trying to hope that we win every game 1-0. And I was, throughout that game, I was just really taken with the just the speed of transition, the way that the players were, you know, making far better decisions in the final third. The movement was much better. They appeared to be just far more in tune than they've been before. And I think you can take so many positives from that, that I was slightly surprised by the general sort of theme in social media. But then I also don't think that that's necessarily indicative of the support, you know, because there's an increasing thing now. It's almost like the way I see it anyway, it's like the most outrageous take that you can come out with sort of gains some traction and somehow makes you like the most staunch supporter in the world, and there seems to be a real currency in that at the moment. You need to be incredibly offended by some element of our play, and that's kind of, you know, seems to be what's going on. So I don't know. In previous title challenges, we haven't had social media, of course, but I was really taken. Yeah, too many big words. Yeah, that's fair. But yeah, I was really taken with the performance, and you can take so many positives, and I'm sure we'll come on to the goal difference and everything else. But yeah, I was surprised, and I was really, really encouraged and pleased. Obviously, I would have loved to have got the additional goal, to take us to the top, but you know, I just love the way things are going at the moment, and I'm incredibly confident that, you know, we're going to get the job done this year.
I get the frustration, Alex, in terms of we wanted to go top, right? We're joint top. For me, it's not as big a deal. I get that we wanted our name to be in that number one position, right? End of the day, we didn't score enough goals to get that. But my point basically is the way that we played, the confidence that we played, the free-flowing football that we played, players knew all their jobs. The only negativity is we didn't score enough goals. And it's not as if, you know, Clement's no Harry Potter, you know. You kind of just wave a wand and suddenly every single part of our game improves. The fact that we put that many shots on goal, that many shots on target, the fact that he's making so many rotational changes game in, game out, and we're still seeing a high level of performance. How can you not be happy with that.
Yeah. I think you can split it up between the, it's like in golf, they talk about tee to green and then sinking the putts, you know? So I think you can split the performance up and you can look at the tee to green, the way that we played, the kind of the passing moves, the chances that we created. I mean, there's no argument to say anything other than it was absolutely brilliant. I mean, it was record-breaking, basically, the amount of chances that we created, the shots that we had, the shots on target. You can't argue anything other than that was just fantastic football. I think a lot of the time people have said with Clement that he doesn't really have a kind of style, drawing parallels maybe back to when we with Walter Smith, that, you know, we'd grind out wins almost, but a kind of backhanded way of saying that we weren't playing the best football. I think the last couple of performances, especially that last one, lays that to rest in terms of that we have players to play some fantastic football. As I said, tee to green. So I think that lays that to rest. And it's really important to be able to create chances. Given that the amount of times that we play low blocks up in Scotland in the SPL, it's really important to be able to do that. So let's not take anything away from the football we played. But then the other way we can look at the finishing and say that there were two sides to it. Partly it was maybe some of the shots were kind of at the keeper or whatever, but, you know, he had a brilliant game. Some of the saves were absolutely fantastic as well. And there are some good finishes in there as well. Dessa's two goals were brilliant finishes, but both of them, the header, that's a really skillful header, heading it down in towards the corner there. His first finish was really good as well. So, yeah, the finishing could have been better, but I think you can say that, you know, it would have been nice to... I mean, the thing with going top, personally, I found when I was watching the match, as soon as they kind of came back into the game, I was just, it was kind of, just get the win, Rangers, just get the win. Obviously, we go 2-1 up, and then because it's only a one-goal difference, again, for the majority of that second half, although it was desperate for goals, it was kind of get the win. And the top of the league thing, it only came back into it. Once we got that third goal, then suddenly it was like, right, come on, we've still got 5 minutes. We can get another goal to go top of the league. So in terms of, I didn't really have that disappointment about the top of the league thing at the time, because it was just it was only a few minutes when we could really go for it. Before then, you always had in the back of your mind, right, we've only got a one goal lead. So as brilliantly as we've played, believe me, we've all seen matches not that long ago where we've absolutely dominated teams. I always look back to that one, the Motherwell one, where we were 2-0 up, absolutely cruising, and then in the space of a few minutes or whatever, it's 2-2, and you just think. And the Ross County one as well, that 3-3 game where, again, you're playing fantastic football, but you contrive to blow it. So as long as it's one goal, I'm always thinking, just get the 3 points. And then, as I said, towards the end, the top of the league thing came back into it. So, but we know that that's not a huge factor at the moment. It comes down to kind of bragging rights of fans. You know, fans like to be able to say they're top of the league, but both teams, you know, Rangers and the other lot, I don't think they're going to be looking at tables and thinking, oh, you know, we're ahead on goals scored, brilliant, let's get complacent. Or on the Rangers side, you know, we're slightly, but, you know, it's not, we know how laser focused Clement is, so that's not going to be a thing. It's just about the fans, really, and it would have been nice, ideally, to have gone top of the league, but we know that we've got, you know, loads more chances to do that if we keep winning. But yeah, no, back to the thing that we played fantastic football. Some of the finishing could have been better. I mean, their goalkeeper breaking the record by a distance for shots made in an SPL match or whatever, since they've been keeping the records. You know, you've got, sometimes you just got to hold your hands up and say the keeper had an absolutely brilliant night. But as I said, yeah, no negativity from me. Fantastic performance, just didn't quite get the finishing. But again, we can improve there. We can improve for sure.
Yeah, I hope. Listen, 100%. We can improve. Every single football team, regardless of how good you are, can playing compared to where we were under Michael Beale. There'll be people watching this going, Martin, what's wrong? you're being awfully positive. It's not like you. What's going on? I seen a difference in that Ross County game that I hadn't seen from this Rangers team, and it was total domination, and I loved every second of it. I suppose, Richie, the problem... I don't know how the other side can have any sort of bragging rights. They were 7 points clear, cruising. We couldn't do anything, and all of a sudden, we're back joint top of the league. So there can be no, absolutely zero bragging rights from that lot across the city. I don't want to say this because I'm going to sound like a Rangers da, Richie, right? But social media is obviously majority of younger people, shall we say. I'm in my mid-30s. You're in, Richie, obviously, in your early 50s, and Alex is touching 60. So we've all seen title races, right? We've seen last day drama. We've seen maybe goes to the last three or four games. We've seen the Old Firm games being, you know, majorly important. Is it just a case that a lot of the support now just haven't seen a genuine title race? So maybe when one little thing doesn't maybe go our way on either side, then there's an overreaction.
Yeah, possibly. That'll come into play. I think social media and this, what I was talking about earlier, comes into play as well with the currency for having these sort of wild takes. And I also think, you know, the lack of success that we've had in the recent past does play into it as well. You know, people almost become conditioned to feel a certain way when you've had a series of disappointments. And, you know, there's things with, you know, that I think a lot of us, more than we'll be willing to admit now, had some sense of excitement going into this new season. I know it seems like everybody was sort of on to Beal and, you know, completely pessimistic about what he was going to achieve, but that certainly wasn't the feeling that I remember on the pods that we were doing at the time. I mean, we did have some question marks around signings and stuff, but I think generally everybody was, you know, quite up for it in a way that we hadn't been for some time. So it's that kind of reinforced disappointment. And then when there's also stuff like, you know, you see most recently the need for a new striker and the debates around, you know, whether we need a sort of old school number nine or what we might understand as a more traditional number nine. When that doesn't happen, I think people then look for ways to kind of back up their ideas. So if we are missing some chances or it doesn't seem like we have that that, you know, cold killer in front of goal, then it's back to that again. But yeah, there's going to be twists and turns. I've absolutely no doubt about that. And people will need to, you know, get used to there being some sense of controversy along the way. Like, we've got 13 games to go. And we're not going to win every single game, and we're not going to play like we did on against County every single game either. So there's going to be that. I'll say the injury word as well, which we're inevitably going to get more injuries because we just have to believe that now, and that'll play its part. But if you think about, that those 7 points that have been clawed back, you know, and you try and put yourself in the shoes of someone on the other side, as difficult as that'll be, it's hard to think, you know, that they'll have any confidence whatsoever. And if this trajectory continues, then I can see us, you know, getting into a lead and extending a lead in the coming weeks, because we've all been there where you're trying to grind out results and not playing very well. And that's where they are at the moment. And you're just desperately hoping that things will click into place. You're desperately hoping that you can just get, you know, another win, and then we'll see how things are. We've been there ourselves very recently. It doesn't feel like that for us now. And it does feel like that watching them, even though you just feel like they'll always just find a way of winning somehow. It definitely feels that way watching them. So, yeah, I think we should be immensely confident. Are you back with us, Martin? I was doing a slight fill of there.
So yeah.
I've gone slightly away from your original point, but...
My internet keeps cutting off, and then my dog starts going mental because there's a delivery driver at the door. Right. There's been a super chat put in by Beatbot Boop. Now, I'm staying away from the subject, right? But he's asked, Alex, serious question. If Abada's let go, would you take him? I think the guy is a really good football player, right? I think he's actually, he could be one of the difference makers if he did manage to get himself back into that Celtic team. He's caused us nothing but problems when we played them and he's been playing. But it's a no for me.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's a good player. Would he be good enough for our team? I mean, he plays on the right. We've got Scott Wright, who is... We all like Scott Wright.
I'm not even going to even try and pretend, Alex, to compare Scott Wright with Leo Labada. I think I've always been honest, and I'll always be honest on this podcast. I think Kyogo's a fantastic striker. I think he's a game changer. And I think if we had a Kyogo in our team right now, I think it pretty much guarantees us the league. And Abada, I think every time I've seen the guy, he's caused us nothing but problems.
Yeah.
No, but I wouldn't take him. I definitely wouldn't take him.
Well, to be honest, if somebody came in now and put a gun to my head and said, I'd say go for it. Partly just to wind them up, of course. But, I think he's a good player. And, you know, all the stuff that's been going on with him over there, however you want to describe it, I'm sure it's probably affected his performance as well. So, anyway, I mean, it's a mischievous question, but for
it's
me...
It's a very mischievous... Beatbot Boop knows exactly what he's doing.
For me, it would be a yes.
Yeah. He knows exactly what he's doing. It's a cheeky question. It's a funny one, but it's a cheeky one.
I mean, one thing I think just to say about Richie was talking about the momentum thing. They are absolutely desperate for momentum. They can feel that everything's going our way. It's been like that for a while. They're just looking for anything to grab hold of, something which, you know, they know how important momentum is. With title races between the old firm, and they're just clutching at anything. I mean, it was like the Hibs game that they won. Rodgers comes on, and I think he does quite a reaction to that, and I think that's him trying to kind of create something to switch the momentum.
That was a release of tension for him, Alex.
See if I'm being
brutally honest with you, right? And this may come back to bite me, and I don't care, right? But Rodgers has never faced... anything up here. It's always been easy for Rodgers up here. The first Rangers team that he came up against, let's be honest, we were awful. We were woeful. We were nowhere near them. And it was always going to be comfortable for him. Then he left just as Steven Gerrard was starting to kind of get his act together, albeit Celtic obviously went on to win the league that season. But he's never faced any animosity up here, Rodgers. We can only go by what we've seen in previous campaigns that he's been manager of football clubs. When the going gets tough, Roger seems to get going. So we can only hope, Richie, that it's going to be the same this time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I completely agree with what Alex was saying. It's that way. You can see it, and none of us want to say it because, like you said, it can come back to bite you. But like we've no reason not to be extremely confident in the way things are going at the moment. Like they are absolutely clinging on, and it's like we found with, I suppose even this season you're doing the same things and playing similar teams, similar lineups, and things will remain the same. And you know you can see someone mentioned the Timplosion there, and absolutely right, if things are intensifying. And that, you know, that they've got key injuries as well. They're not going to be back too soon.
But can I just say, Richie? Can I just say though, momentum in football is a funny thing. It can switch just as quickly, and it could be as simple as Celtic winning at the weekend and we drop points, and all of a sudden the momentum massively shifts the other way. That's what it's like in title races. It doesn't go your way every single week. So we need to be careful. We need to be confident because we're playing well, right? I get that. You need to take the victories when you get them. You need to be happy when you can. Otherwise, what's the point in being a football supporter if you're just depressed every week? Unfortunately, Richie, I am, right? Because that's just a kind of pessimistic football supporter that I'm. But momentum in football, Richie, is a funny thing.
Yeah, no, I get that. And yeah, games can swing on, you know, key decisions not going your way, but when you have the number of shots and chances that we've been creating recently, then you tend to blow that out of the way. But yeah, I can, even as I'm talking now, I can sense that, yeah, this can all come back to bite me. And of course, that there'll be twists and turns along the way. But I think we've got every reason to think that there's a good chance that we'll go into a lead. And we just need to try and, yeah, hold that, extend it if possible. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but you've got to call it as you see it. There's no point. I can't just sit here and say, oh, I don't know how it's looking for us. You know, it might, oh, we're still not on top because we're, you know, we've clawed back this number of points. And yeah, I feel extremely confident in the way that we're playing, not just the results that we're getting. And the confidence in the players. So yeah, long may that continue. But you're right. You're right enough. Like that's there's not, you know, at the end of the day, if there weren't twists and turns, then the bookies would be out of business, wouldn't they? Because it would just be so obvious to always say, oh, this is going to happen or that's going to happen. So yeah, there will be twists and turns. And yeah, let's hope that people have got a stomach for a bit of drama in the run-in.
I don't. I hate. I mean, I've experienced them, but I hate title races. I absolutely despise them. I don't. Do you know, Alex? My missus said to me the other night. It was during the Ross County game. She turned and she said to me, "Why do you even like football?" Because I'm desperate for us, obviously, to get that goal. And she says, and obviously when it went one each, and she says, "It's taken years off your life. Why do you even like football?" And I couldn't think of an answer. I said, I just do. Let's quickly jump back to the Ross County game, Alex, and just discuss a certain right winger in Ross McCausland, who seems to be taking a bit of stick off his supporters. Young guy coming into the team, obviously started off really well. Obviously, you kind of need to start off really well to get an extended run in the team, but it can also then come back to bite you in the arse if you're slightly inconsistent. Now, he's a young boy. He's a winger. Wingers are notoriously inconsistent. That's the problem. Is Brian Laudrup ruined it for everybody just because he was that good that he ruined wingers for the rest of the time? He's a young boy. He's going to be inconsistent. Does he deserve the sort of scrutiny that he seems to be getting?
I think it's inevitable. All players are going to have their performance picked over with a fine-tooth comb. But McCausland, for me, I haven't got a problem with him. I think he started so well. He maybe kind of raised expectations a bit. Remember that game away at Livingston and things. But I think he's playing well. He's the kind of player, I think, Clamart likes him because he knows he's going to put in a shift. I think he's quite good at keeping hold of possession. So he's quite a kind of solid option for Clement to use. And we don't have a huge amount of options over on the right wing. But he seems to be, I don't think he lets his head go down too much. I think his level of performance, he's one of these players where, I don't want to say the Sasa Papac of right wing, but he doesn't have really bad games. He doesn't kind of absolutely lose the place. He doesn't chuck it. He keeps working hard. He's got a really good sort of temperament. He just keeps going and keeps going. The last few games, he hasn't had any 9 out of 10s, but he certainly hasn't dipped below a 6 out of 10 for me. He's always been quite solid. And consistent, so I think he could do with a goal, could do with an assist, a couple of assists. But I think Clement keeps picking him, so you know we're absolutely trusting Clement at the moment, and he's seeing something in his performance, and I think that's giving the lad confidence. And as I said, I've no worries about him at the moment. I mean, what are our options on the right wing? McCausland, right, but when Wright starts, he's not set the heather alight either, really. Matondo is more suited to the left wing. Cortez, have we really tried him at right wing yet? He could be an option, but yeah, I mean, you said it at the start, wingers are notoriously inconsistent, but in a way, McCausland's kind of sort of bucks that in a way that, as I said, he doesn't have appalling games for me. As I said, he's typically 6 or 7 out of 10. I just think he could do with another 8 out of 10 or even a 9 out of 10, just to kind of, you know, sort of get the fans kind of falling in love with him again. But again, he's come from the academy. We're always desperate to have players from the academy coming through. So the fans have got a lot of patience with him. And so, yeah, I think he's doing fine, but he could just do with another kind of eye-catching performance just to kind of boost his profile again.
Right. I take everything Alex has said there, Richard, right? But just before I come to that, I have to say a big massive thank you to Des Masson for a super sticker. Thank you very much, Des. Always supporting the channel. So thank you very, very much for that. And I've got a few comments lined up that I'm going to be bringing up shortly. So if you put comments in, I've saved a few that I'm going to be bringing up. But Richard, I get what Alex is saying, and there's been nobody on this podcast more than me who's wanted young players to come into the first team. It's something that I've always been on about since, obviously, I covered the B team last season, and we may have some B team coverage coming back, but I'm going to wait just there. I speak to a certain Mr. Irwin to see if that's going to be happening. But is he doing enough? Right, I hate asking this question. I'm going to give a player who comes to the academy, I'm going to give him so much more time than I'm going to give somebody who's come in for millions and millions of pounds. Right, I just am. I'm going to admit my bias straight away. Right, but after his initial kind of good performances, is McCausland doing enough for the team and the position that he's playing in?
Yeah, I mean, for me, he's had a fantastic season. You know, he was propelled into the first team, I think, by Davis initially, and then, you know, he's managed to hold on to his place under Big Phil. I struggle to get the criticism, to be honest with you. I mean, we're the first to complain that youth players aren't given a chance. We're constantly saying that there's youth options that could be used whenever we're not playing well.
Well, I throw a few of them at you, Richie, and you can answer them.
Yeah.
Decision making.
Yeah, like it depends how you view. I mean, what are we actually expecting from him? So you're saying, is he doing enough to hold down a place? Well, I think he's doing enough to justify his place in the team with a similar amount of rotation that you'd expect, that, you know, that Phil's sort of giving a lot of the midfield at the moment. The idea of him being pulled out of the firing line, I think, is a little bit extreme. But he does need to improve his chance creation. Like you can see him getting into areas, and he's cutting across into the middle of the park really nicely. And then sometimes he's just either delaying that ball or not taking on the shot when he might. One thing I'd say he's really improved on since he first came in is his trekking back. Mm-hmm. He was quite exposed initially. But I noticed in the last couple of games, you know, he's come. I'm not saying that's his primary role, but ultimately, when you've got flying wing backs, particularly if you're playing on the right hand side, you are going to need to do a little bit of that. So I'm not suggesting that he's perfect, but I just think that this idea that he needs to be pulled out of the fray is too much. He will get rotated, of course, but we don't have any solid options. I don't know enough about Cortez on the right-hand side. I haven't seen enough. If he's anything like he is on the left-hand side from what I saw midweek, then yeah, maybe he will be a good option. But I can't see that Scott Wright's any better. And while we haven't got Seema, Matondo's, you know, going to be in his favoured position on the left-hand side. So I'm quite happy for him to carry on learning. And like you said, to trust in Big Phil. But ultimately, we might find that he's not starting a couple of games or he's rotated a little bit more. But from what I see from him, it's about as much as you could possibly expect from a young player. And for me, it's good enough. He's been a crucial part in what we've done since Phil's been in, as far as I'm concerned.
Do you go along with that, Alex? I said, obviously, decision-making. I've seen a few people, you know, say that he doesn't take on his man enough. Is he doing enough? I hate asking these questions because I'm going to repeat myself. I'm going to give Ross as much time as it takes for him to be the player that we need. If he's not already that player, I'm going to be biased in my judgments. I just am. I'm always going to prefer a player who's came from our academy to anybody that we've signed. But for where we are at the season, was it 13 games to go in the league? The importance of those 13 games, the importance of getting into the Champions League next season, the money that that's going to bring in, the sustainability that has for clubs going forward. Is Ross doing enough in that position to keep us going and to win games and to win big games?
Yeah, I mean, as I said, I think he's performing solidly, but at the moment not spectacularly. But he's doing well enough to keep himself in the team. I mean, Clement's not going to keep him in there if he doesn't think that he's contributing and doing a valuable role. And we can see that the last few games he's not had a brilliant game. But as I said, he's not a player who lets his head go down. He doesn't chuck it. So he's not throwing in four out of 10 or five out of 10 performances. He's consistent. His worst level is actually not too bad. So that's why he's staying in the team. And I mean, the nature of football is that you're not going to be equally strong in every single position. And I think right wing for a while has been a position which it hasn't been our strongest position. And I think, you know, as fans, we've been talking about that for a while, and that's a recruitment question. But as I said, we're all pretty patient with him. And as I said, hopefully at the weekend, that's the game. He maybe grabs a goal, grabs an assist. I'm not sure whether he's going to start. I mean, as I said, Clement is absolutely all about rotation. So whether he might just give Wright a start and bring McCausland on for the last 20 minutes, that might not do him any harm, because as a winger, there's always a bit of an advantage, I think, maybe coming on, like you were 20 minutes, half an hour against tiring defenders. As long as, for me, I just really hope that he has been told to keep taking your man on, keep trying to get shots away, keep trying to play confidently, try and play without pressure. And I'm sure those are the messages that he's getting. And as I said, hopefully Sunday's the game where he can grab a goal or an assist or something.
Yeah, absolutely. Rabble contributor, and of course channel member as well, Brian. Sad day about Ian McMillan passing away, part of a great Rangers team. Yeah, every single person at the Rangers Rabble sends their condolences to Ian McMillan's family. Joined Rangers in 1958, so only Wilf Marshall would have been able to watch him. He joined for his hometown club, Airdrie, scored a double in his debut. He played nearly 200 games for the club, scored 55 goals, and he won 4 league titles, 4 Scottish Cups and 3 League Cups whilst at Rangers, and rightly takes his place in the Rangers Hall of Fame. So, yeah, so every single person at the Rangers Rabble sends our deepest condolences to Ian's family at this tragic time. Yeah. Shall we move on to the press conference then, Richie? And I don't usually take much stock in press conferences, to be brutally honest with you, but I have kind of more so since Big Phil's came in. He was asked a lot of questions, and one of the questions that he was asked was about the pitches in Scotland. And he made a good point, actually. And he says, the better pitches you've got, the better product you've got, therefore the better TV deal that you can get. Just very quickly on this, because we'll obviously move on to the St Johnstone game and stuff like that. But he's got a point, hasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. We saw it. We saw it recently at St Mirren. Like the difficulty in stringing, you know, quick, free flowing football together when you've got a pitch, a ball that's bobbling about. You do it in the top leagues in the world. You're constantly playing on a carpet, aren't you? So the ball's gonna have a true role, and you're gonna be able to play with speed and precision and accuracy, and that's gonna play into our hands. You can absolutely see the difference when we're playing at home to when we're playing at some of the grounds in the SPFL. So yeah, I think he's got a good point, and it's kind of, I really like the way he's done this a few times with, you know, various sort of potentially contentious topics, where he'll kind of make his point in quite a nice, polite way, without maybe you know saying exactly what he thinks about the issue, and you know how actually, if some of these playing surfaces were improved, then it wouldn't just be a case of it being easier for us to steamroller everybody that comes into our way, but actually it'd make for a more viable commercial product for the league, and then everybody could improve as a result of that. So yeah, I think he's got a really good point, but it's not something that we're going to see a change to anytime soon. I know that the weather and finances are you know, large contributing factors, but some of the surfaces just don't seem fit for, you know, a premier professional competition, do they, if we're being really honest?
I mean, you only need to look at Kilmarnock, Livingston, to name two pitches that are obviously not grass, and they're absolutely horrendous. And I think Motherwell keep their pitch well now, but in the past they didn't. But Alex, a lot of these clubs are going to turn around and say, we just simply don't have the money. So we, how can we make the investment if we don't have the money? And how do they get the money? You're on mute. Come on.
In terms of the pitches, any grass pitch will do for me. I mean, given what we have to put up with Kilmarnock and Livingston. I mean, the St Mirren pitch, that was a funny one. It actually, on the TV, it actually didn't look too bad. But everyone, everyone agreed, like the players and that, and both managers actually, even Stephen Robinson agreed that the pitch was actually in a kind of bobbly state. So, yeah, but as I said, a grass pitch, just every single time. I mean, I think Kilmarnock, I'm not sure if they've announced that they've got plans to dig up their AstroTurf and replace it with grass, which I can imagine McInnes would have a pretty big influence in that, as he's kind of more of a traditionalist, I suppose. But I mean, the Livingston one, I just think is an absolute embarrassment for Scottish football, that pitch. I don't even know how to, it looks like a kind of a green sort of doormat that's kind of, you know, spread out across the pitch. The quality just looks appalling. It's different patches of different colours and everything. And it's just, for the elite level of football in Scotland, it just shouldn't be allowed. I mean, it's as simple as that. Why they can't just bring a rule in just to say that for the elite level of football, the top tier league in Scotland, you have to have a grass pitch. If you don't have a grass pitch, tough. I mean, the amount of clubs around that can afford to maintain a decent grass pitch, you know, they just have to cut their cloth accordingly, and they just bring a rule in. I mean, I don't know why they haven't done it yet. But yeah, in terms of the pitches, as I said, if it's a grass pitch, I don't usually complain about it, even if it is a bit bobbly or whatever. You kind of have to adapt your style, but it's the AstroTurfs that really, really annoy me. And I just find it quite an embarrassment, actually, that they're still there in the SPL. But hopefully, hopefully it gets sorted. If Kilmarnock change theirs, that'll be something. Because it means, you know, Livingston, you just want them out of the league. You just want them down. Yeah. Because that, the embarrassment of the pitch. So you think from the club's point of view, and, you know, Livingston famously have got pretty small support. And that, maybe that's a factor, that people going along week in, week out, you know, every couple of weeks to watch football on that surface. So yeah, that's my take on the pitches. Any grass pitch, I won't mind too much, but yeah, I just want rid of those AstroTurfs.
Can I just say, Toronto Bear channel member, thank you very much. We need to hold clubs responsible and make them have better standard of pitch if we want to, if we want our game to improve. That would mean getting the SPFL and the SFA to do something, which, as we all know, is practically impossible. And can I just say to Toronto Bear as well, me and the missus are actually looking in to a move to Canada. So just give me a yes or a no in the comments, Toronto. And anybody else who's watching from Canada, yes or no, is it worth it? Is it? What's the lifestyle like over there? What's the? How much does it cost? How much do things cost in Canada? So give me a yes or a no. Should we emigrate? Because that's something that we are looking
at. Is this an exclusive, Martin?
You may as well make use of the people watching. You know what I'm saying? Just
can you wait till the end of the show, Martin?
I mean, it takes a little while to emigrate, you know. But it's something that we're looking at. But I would just need to obviously see the difference in time zones. So because I'd need to maybe get Richie to start running the podcast with his big posh accent. But yeah. Excuse me, somebody who I really want to talk about, Richie. As Paul says, serious question, what price would you put on Super Jack Butland? Now, the manager was asked in the press conference, you know, where does he rate in terms of goalkeepers who you've either managed or you played with? And I think you put him joint first. I can't remember the other goalkeeper that he named. But he is that good, Richie, isn't he? And I mean, for me, he's invaluable.
Yeah, absolutely. As far as I'm concerned, he's invaluable. The part that he's played so far, it's been absolutely, you know, you can't overstress the impact that he's had. And he's also, you know, as far as I can see, the manager was talking about, you know, the influence that he has in the dressing room and everything else. He's such an influential player in terms of leadership, not only what he does on the pitch, but I think there's a few different. So if you're asking what I would take, it would be it would need to be an absolutely stupid amount of money. But if you're saying what do I think Bennett and friends would accept, 15 to 20 million. And that doesn't please me to say that at all, but just given that we paid very little for him, the whole player trading model and everything else, I think that they would accept something in the region there. But I think his actual value, if you look at what the transfer prices of some of the goalkeepers that come into the English Premier League, you know, and you'd have to think, I think genuinely on form, he should have a very good chance of getting into the England team in the summer, but he probably won't because of the snobbery that exists within the Premier League. I don't think like the
do you think Gareth Southgate cares about that though in terms of Butland getting selected? Because I mean, he was going to pick Jordan Henderson, who was playing in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, but Jordan Henderson's was already one of his sort of club, wasn't he? So it's like, I think if he hadn't have had that relationship with him and then he was in Saudi Arabia, it would be quite different. So I do think that would feed into his decision. I hope that it wouldn't, because I think that would be a fantastic experience for him to have. I think he has been capped before, but maybe just on a couple of occasions. And I think he deserves that. And also it puts his value up. I mean, it depends what he does in Europe as well, because I think there's more eyes on that. But I can't see that. I mean, I know that Pickford's got the jersey at the moment for it, but honestly, I can't see that he's a better keeper than Butland on current form. So there's no amount of money that I would take, but I think the board would accept anywhere up towards around 20 million. I think they'd accept and look to pump that back into the team.
I mean, there's expectation, Alex, which is what the fans would expect. And I think most of us would rather keep him than sell him. I think that's fair. But there's an expectation of what we would accept fee-wise as a support, and then there's a reality of what the board would accept, as Richie says. And listen, if we got offered 15 million for any player, I think we'd take it.
Yeah, I think if it was anything under 10 million, there'd be, you know, we'd all be absolutely raging.
I don't think the board would be that stupid, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, he's just been he's just made such a huge, huge difference to us this season. It was a strange thing with McGregor, wasn't it? McGregor was an absolute legend, but I think we all kind of knew that time was up and it had gone on too long. When you look back to, you know, even a couple of seasons ago, where we went to the Europa League final and McGregor was absolutely huge getting there, but then in the league, some of those, I don't really want to think about it again, but some of those results which basically cost us that league where we blew the lead, fortunately some of his mistakes were pretty prominent in those. So now we've got Butland, we're really noticing the difference, and he is absolutely so important to us. I mean, remember our defensive record this season, although obviously the usual story, one error and everyone's saying that the defence needs fixed. But the reality is, statistically, I think our defence is something like, I saw someone a few days ago that it's the third, in terms of the league, goals conceded per game, it's the third best in our history. In 150 years, the third best. So the defence is...
12 year.
The defence has been brilliant this season, and he's been a massive part of it. So...
Alex, 150 years, you're taking the piss here, mate. It's only about 12. So,
yeah, no, don't. Let's not go there. But the
I get that. And there's people who'll complain about the defence that we have and stuff like that, which again, it baffles me sometimes as well. And I mean, yeah, Rich, there's people in the comments, you know, saying, look, if we get into the Champions League, if we win the treble, if we do this, if we do that, we don't need to sell anybody. And I get that. I get that, right? But at the end of the day, we're still a trading club. We're still going to have that model of bring players in, make them better and sell them for more money than what we brought them in for.
Yeah, and there was a big emphasis on that at the sort of stakeholder AGM meeting at the end of last year. John Bennett was falling over himself, making sure that everybody knew that we were still running at a considerable deficit despite the Europa League run. So, yeah, I think that's always going
to
be a
factor. The Champions League's huge, Richard. We have to say that. The Champions League money is massive. Especially with the way that they're changing it next season. I think it was 6 games you're guaranteed or 8 games you're guaranteed or something like that, rather than the 4. So there's a lot more money on offer.
It's an absolute game changer, and particularly if you can build upon that. So have several seasons where you're in the competition, then you start seeing the balance sheets looking a lot different. But I think the sad reality is, as you said, when we started talking about Butland, I think 15 million at the minute is about, you know, that's going to be something to think about for anybody in the squad, unfortunately. But, you know, all we can look to do is, you know, win the league this year, Champions League money, attract different players as well, and then just start building up again from there. And because it's been a while since we've been able to make any kind of what you'd call marquee signings in a way that we used to when I was growing up, you know. So I know we're still a million miles away from that, but there's only one way to go about doing that. And as you say, it's about securing the money and winning titles.
100% it is. And marquee signings, I think they're gone. I mean, 7 million in Ryan Kent, I think that's about as much marquee as we're going to have in it. I don't think it's ever going to be any higher than that, I wouldn't imagine. Just to let everybody know that Rangers under-18s have just went 3-1 up against Hamilton under-18s. And on Tuesday at 2 o'clock at Gussie Park in Dundee, Dundee United under-18s will be taking on Rangers under-18s. So if you've not got anything planned, it's free. You get in, doesn't cost you any money, and you want to go and watch the under-18s, then they'll be playing at Gussie Park on Tuesday at 2 p.m., which is a game that I'm going to be attending. Yeah, I hope Rangers win, of course. I hope one person in the under-18s has a very good game for Dundee United, but of course I want a Rangers win. St Johnstone on Sunday then, Alex. Are we at the point now where the supporters are thinking, Right, it's not the fact we're going to win, because we know we're going to win. We just need to score loads of goals. Are we at that point now? Are we taking it too much for granted?
No, I think because it's an away game, just instinctively, we'll maybe think about...
But is that you thinking that, Alex? Because you're of an older vintage.
An older vintage? Only just hit 40, actually.
Yeah, that's an older vintage in the podcast world.
Yeah, true. Yeah, and no, I think it's I think everyone's the same. It's just get the 3 points, get the win, and then if we go a couple of goals up, don't sit back. None of this kind of, you know, 2-0 up, job's done. Let's just sit on it. And Clement said as well, he says, you know, it's not about telling them to go out and get more goals, because a goal difference, the message is always to keep pushing for more goals. That was something Gerard brought in and was a brilliant part of his kind of approach, the whole relentless thing, that the team would keep pushing. So that's going to be the case on Sunday. It's going to be get a couple of goals up, make sure the win. That's the important thing. As I said, goal difference at the moment, goal difference is only a factor if it finishes on level points. So we know that. So the priority is always the win, the 3 points. And if we go a couple of goals up, then for sure we're going to want them to keep pushing. And we know that they're going to keep pushing, because that's Clement's way. So that's basically it. Hopefully a couple of early goals, but the priority for me is always going to be the win and the 3 points.
Yeah, I mean, that's for me as well, Richie. And it sounds like, again, I'll use the phrase Rangers da sounding. there's obviously going to be so much emphasis put on goals just simply because we're on the same amount of points, which is crazy when there's 13 games to go, because so much can happen in those 13 games. And it's highly unlikely that we're going to finish in the same amount of points. So for me, again, I mean, all there's going to be rotation, because that's the way the manager does it. It's all about the 3 points. And Perth, St Johnston, horrible stadium, right? It's like an industrial estate stadium. It's the only way I can describe it. It's a horrible stadium. But again, just go down and get the 3 points.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know. It's a bit like a Lego-looking thing, isn't it? It's a bad stadium, but hopefully the pitch looks to be in half-decent nick anyway. And, I don't know if we've got anyone in the comments in and around Perth, but I don't know if we're expecting
plenty of people in the comments slagging me for some reason.
just another episode.
Apparently I'm going to look like Steptoe son when I get older, if I don't already look like
them. But yeah, this whole goal difference, I think it's just everyone's obviously wanting us to sit at the top of the league, and I can completely get that. But you see, if we'd have had a far less convincing performance and somehow we'd found our way to a 3-0 win, maybe like a penalty or one of those kind of scrappy ones that ends up 3-0, I would feel less confident, despite the fact that we'd be sitting plus one better on goal difference than I do now, having watched that performance. So I'm not interested in the goal difference at all at the moment. Well, people are acting as if we're in the cutoff already. It's like, as you said, 13 games, there's going to be twists and turns. We'll need to do the business on Sunday, but I think we will. And I tell you what, I'll have more than a slightly hopeful eye tomorrow, because I can really...
Don't, Richie.
If I had that power, Martin, if only I had that kind of power.
How many times has McInnes beaten them this season?
I know, but come on. Right. Do you know what the one thing that we have to do, we have to say seriously on here, right? They are a good team, right? They're not having the best of times now, right? If you look at their record, they're still winning loads and loads of games. They are a good team. There's every possibility they drop points tomorrow, right? But there's also every possibility that they beat Kilmarnock 4-5-0 tomorrow. So we can keep... No, there is. There is. It could be a 1-0 scrappy win for Celtic, but they've also got the ability to go out and score 4 or 5 goals. In that team, they have that ability, right? So we have to I mean, personally, I think we have to move ourselves away from focusing on them, right, and what they do every week. We have to focus on us. And if they have a really good week one week where they go and score a barrel load of goals and they absolutely thump a team, doesn't it get to us? We just carry on doing what we're doing.
Martin, I've got to admit, this is just me personally, my approach, and it was like that with title races, that every single game that they play, you think, this might be the one. This might just be the one. And you start keeping an eye on it. And the longer it's 0-0, you hope. This is football. Football is about hope, isn't it? If there wasn't hope in football,
it's also about pain and anguish and 3 days in your bed and whiskey and I'm never watching Rangers again until the next time they play. That's what football's about.
I'll be honest, what I'll be like tomorrow, I'll be keeping an eye on their score. As long as it's 0-0, you'll be hoping that it's the one. One thing's for sure, the longer it's 0-0, the pressure's going to build. It's the same for us when we play as well. So, but yeah, it's unlikely at Parkhead. You never know. But obviously, McInnes's two wins against them were at Rugby Park, which is a bit of a different ball game. But yeah, you never know. And that's what a title race is like. Every single game you think this might be the one that they might have a little slip up in. And their fans will be the same about our games as well. But yeah, no, McInnes is... because I think his record against Rodgers previously when he was at Aberdeen was kind of famously pretty poor. So
anybody's record at Aberdeen against him is pretty poor. Let's be brutal. Let's not kid on. Just very quickly as well, Jim Sloan. And I've seen your other super chat that you've put in, Jim, and I'm going to come to that in a second, by the way. I'm constantly telling people your comments are saved and I'm going to come back to them. And again, Jim always supports the channel. So thank you very, very much, Jim. It's genuinely, appreciated. Big Phil is the best signing we've made since 55 by a country mile. And you're not going to get any argument from me, Richie. He said in his press conference that, he's a young manager. He's only been managing for 7 seasons. But the way he's come in and changed this whole team is beyond recognition. And so far, what a job.
Yeah, there's nothing else you can say, is there? Like, as I said earlier, I'd half written off this season just because I thought there's just no... We're in such a mess with the money that we'd spent and the form of the team, so... No, you've just got to hope that he carries on as he is. And he's just got that feel about him that he's going to be here for a while and he's going to do really good things. That kind of, even like you were saying about you'd become a bit turned off by press conferences and now you're a bit more interested in them. He's just got that air about him. And you can only imagine what it'd be like sitting in the dressing room as one of his teams as well, as long as you're playing well. So, yeah, absolutely. But I can't disagree, Jim. And, yeah, let's hope he fires us to 56, eh?
Aye, and by the way, there's nothing wrong with checking their scores and keeping an eye on their games. I don't know where this came from, that all of a sudden you get less strong points if you keep an eye on Celtic. You always keep an eye on what your rivals are doing. Absolutely, why would you not? Yeah. And neither they are, Jim. And that's another super chat. Thank you very much, Jim. Robert never dingies my super chats, Martin. And neither do I. Absolutely neither do I. So again, thank you so much for the support. And Beep Bop Boop, which again is one of my absolute favourite names with a super chat. Kevin Van Veen and Greg Stewart will batter them. Let's absolutely hope that they do. And then have an off game when they come to Ibrox in a few weeks and play us. But let's absolutely hope we do. Celtic are vulnerable. People are putting it in the comments. I get that. They absolutely are, right? But there's a lot of money invested in that team. And all I'm saying is they have the ability on their day to spank teams. And I've no doubt that between now and the end of the season, they will a few times. What I'm saying is, we can't let that get us down if they suddenly have a good performance. We just need to keep focusing exactly on what we are doing. That's all I'm saying. So people, stop jumping down my throat. It's bang out
the off. The thing is, though, Martin, it's like we used to watch it in hope and you just thought maybe they'll have a bad day. But when you watch their games at the moment, they're that poor. Like, you can't help but get a little bit excited about it.
Aye, and Ian, I love Ian's comment. You know, Martin, you think this is good? Wait for next season when Big Phil has his own team on the park, and that's the comment for me, because this is Big Phil, you know, coming in and using the players that he has to use, and he's only been able to bring in loan signings and obligations to buy. He's not even been able to bring in his own players yet, and we're performing this way. So, no, it's I'm positive, and I think we've all gone and won the league. We may not. We may. We shall see what happens. Before we go, let's quickly discuss Kemar Roofe, Alex. The manager saying in his press conference today that he's back training, but he won't be throwing him into any games. He's going to take his time. But also, there's been rumours, which I don't really think are rumours, to be brutally honest with you, I think it's common knowledge that he won't be offered a new contract at the end of the season. I think it would be mental to offer him a new contract.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's any chance of that with his injury record. Clemens maybe just doing the professional thing and you know, not talking him down, so that you know, if he can come back and play a little bit, you never know. We might get Roofe's such a quality striker when he's fit. You know, one goal could be absolutely crucial at any point in the season. One goal could be crucial, so. He's going to want to talk him up, so that if he can get back and just play even a couple of games or something, just to be an option, that he's going to build him up gradually and build up his, that will involve building up his confidence as well. So again, if he does come back and play even a small role, that he's going to be an option for us. So I think he's doing the right job, but the professional thing and kind of being positive about him. I mean, obviously, it makes no sense for him to be negative about his injury record. I mean, we all know his injury record, and what a great shame it's been, because at various times you think that a fit Roofe is, you know, one of the best strikers in Scotland for sure. During the 55 season, we kind of almost forget how important his goals were to that season, top scorer that season. So. I don't have, the thing with Roofe is you don't have expectations anymore, unfortunately, because of his injury record. Mm-hmm. Anything we get from him, any goals we get from him will be a bonus. But I'm not writing off that he might have a role to play. And again, any goal could be crucial later in the season. So hopefully he can come back. I mean, it would be absolutely fantastic if he is to leave us in the summer, if he can come back and play some kind of role towards the end of the season, that would be brilliant. But yeah, no, the Roofe story at Rangers has just been absolutely dominated by his injury record, unfortunately. But
it is unfortunate. Richie and Louis Martin asking, what about a pay-as-you-play contract? No, because just no, Richie. It gets to the point and. And look, this sounds dead hypocritical, right? But, you know, if Clement gives him enough time and he comes back in and he manages to stay injury-free again, he could be the complete game-changer who wins us the league, right? Because he is that good. But not even on a pay-as-you-play contract next season. As soon as the end of the season comes, it's time to say goodbye.
Yeah, no, definitely. I completely agree. I mean, I don't even think he would. I don't think these pay-as-you-play things now, I couldn't even see him accepting that, even if it was something that we'd be keen to go forward with. And he, you know, injury-free, I do think that he's would be, you know, obviously our best forward and one of the best forwards in the league in recent years, but that's more the problem. You can't say injury free, can you? Because we're talking about something different then. And you know, maybe even if he didn't have these injury problems, he might even be playing in the English Premier League. Yeah, you know, I think at a time he could have really been that good, too, genuinely. Yeah. So it's one of those things. I think of all the players that are out of contract in the summer, I think it's only really Lundstrom that's the question mark as to whether there'll be an extension. I can't see any of the others staying on. And I think it's about right that we shift. What is it? We've got six in total. So it's about right that we shift five of them, I would say, if it's going to be a means of getting some fresh blood into the squad.
Yeah, I think Lundstrom will be a definite. I think he'll be, as long as he can stay fit and everything, I think he'll be a definite, because I mean, Clement's kind of said as much. And I think also you need a kind of senior player, experienced head in that midfield. So I think Lundstrom's a definite. Jack, another one, unfortunately, is, you know, there's the injury question. So
we've not got time to go through all the players, Alex. We've not got time to go through them all. But no, listen, I get that. And I've had a message for Brian as well to say, to remind everybody that the Women's Old Firm is on Sunday at Ibrox as well. I believe it's £1 for a ticket. So if you're not doing anything on Sunday, then do head along to that. Make sure you go. Can I just say, by the way, a big massive thank you to sponsors of the podcast, Football Prizes, who, if you click on the link in the description, you can enter the competition. Tickets cost £3.95. I believe there's 149 tickets in total, and you can win a Rangers Legends multi-signed and framed shirt, which is signed by Nigel Spackman, Mark Haitley, Trevor Stephen, Chris Woods, and Mark Walters. And I believe there's also 14 instant prizes as well, which include signed framed pictures by, I think, Nacho Novo and Kenny Miller, amongst others. So a massive thank you to Football Prizes for sponsoring the show and giving you the opportunity to win that signed top and loads of other instant prizes as well. You can check out our socials or go into the link in the description as well, and you will get the link for that. And a massive thank you to NordVPN as well, who sponsored the podcast, and the link for that is in the description as well. Final question before we go, guys, right? Final question before we go. St Johnston on Sunday. I just want to know, who starts up front, Alex? Is it going to be Dessers, who's fresh off scoring two goals? Or is he going to bring Silva back in?
I think Clement he's been all about rotation. And rotation's the way to go, as long as it works, basically. So it's giving everyone minutes. It's the spirit in the dressing room is going to be sky high, because they know they're all involved. So I think he's going to keep rotating, you know, basically until it starts working. So I think Silva's going to start for me, and Dessers will maybe come on for a bit off the bench, but I think Silva's going to start, and I'm really hoping he gets a start and gets a couple of goals.
Is there an argument, Richie, to be made, though, that your number nine's just scored two goals, so why would you not keep him in the team?
Yeah, there's definitely an argument, but yeah, it's been what we've seen from Clement so far, so I agree with Alex. I think Silva will come in 70, 75 minutes, depending on how the game's going, and then Dessers will get some time at the end. And I think it seems like he's built an environment where the players are quite sort of okay with that. I don't see it feels like this sort of healthy competition amongst the group. Like Lawrence said a few positive things at the press conference earlier as well, about the unity within the camp. So yeah, I can see Silva starting. I'd still like to see him on the left at some point, but I said that when he first came in, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen, because he hasn't taken any opportunities to play him there so far. But we'll have Silva as the false nine, as they say, and hopefully he gets a couple himself.
If he's got 5 minutes, can you stretch another 5 minutes? I know it's going to cost me a lot more money in overtime, right? But you mentioned him, Richie, so I'm going to come straight back to you. Tom Lawrence, somebody I was going to bring up, but I just seen the time. An hour and 12 minutes you've been on this podcast. Looked the difference maker. Not the difference maker, I thought everybody played well against Ross County, right? But you've seen the difference that Lawrence made, you know, the speed of thought, the movement, how good he is with his feet. I would be amazed, though, if he plays on Sunday, just simply because the manager's been, you know, not just rotation, but Lawrence is, you know, injury prone. So I would be amazed if he starts on Sunday. However, he was sensational against Ross County, and you can see the difference that he makes in this team.
Yeah, and you can. I'm a massive fan of Lawrence. It was interesting seeing him from that deeper position as well, as one of the sort of, well, you can't call them holding midfielders, but you know what I mean, the two behind the three.
He's an advanced playmaker.
Yeah, so it was interesting, and he alluded to it.
Football manager
as well.
Term there, folks. Football manager.
Yeah, 10 years ago, maybe, but yeah. So it was good to seeing him like coming into those positions, was really interesting as well. And he was linking up really well with Cantwell, which was great. He can play in either of those. Well, of the three behind the striker, he can certainly play centrally in the 10 or on the left as well. So plenty of options, but I can't see him starting because I think there's quite a few. There's a bit of competition for those two places behind the three now, isn't there? Particularly with Lundstrom's form. We haven't seen much of Raskan, and obviously Sterling's made a when he's back Ryan available. Jack. Yeah, exactly. So, he probably won't start. But I thought he was really impressive. Alex mentioned it in the reaction show, but that no-look pass was just fantastic. Just slid through him behind.
It was almost, and I don't say this lightly, it was almost Scott Allen-esque.
Oh, dear. What was that, the pass in when we beat them about 8-1 or something?
I'm just saying that is, it wasn't quite as good as Scott Allen, Alex, but it was almost up there. It was almost up there. But just final thoughts then to you, Alex, on the Tom Lawrence thing. Did you like seeing him in that kind of deeper role?
I really like Tom Lawrence. I think Tom Lawrence is a really, really good player. We're just beginning to see, he's getting back to full fitness now. And we're just beginning to see the player that we hoped he had. He's a massive threat. He's probably not got as many goals from his shooting as it maybe deserves. I just think he's got an absolutely fantastic shot. He hits that shot. It's like, I don't know what the kids call it these days, like a kind of knuckleball thing where it's kind of top spin and it starts dipping as it gets to the goalkeeper. And it makes it difficult to deal with. And that's why it's no kind of coincidence. The shots being parried off to the side for a tap in for Dessers,
I think,
or whatever.
It's called Rocket League or something like that.
I could never hit one myself, but he hits that shot with the dipping shot, and it's really, goalkeepers absolutely hate that, and it's a real kind of weapon to use. So I think it's fantastic that he's back in form. But again, Clement's all about rotation. There's certain guys that are rock solid and don't get rotated, but I think Lawrence is one of those ones that he's managing, and I've no problem with that. So I don't think he'll start, but he'll certainly be there on the bench if needed.
It's important that he manages him as well, because we need somebody like him for the running. We need somebody like him to play against Celtic, who gives us that extra bit of quality that we're definitely going to need. And we certainly don't want them picking up any more injuries. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I now owe 15 minutes overtime to these two gentlemen, which is a lot of self-esteem that I need to give out. But there we go. So, Richie, Alex, thank you very much. If you're watching on YouTube, help us on our way to 10,000 subscribers by clicking that subscribe button if you haven't already. I think something crazy like 72% of people who watch don't subscribe. So if you're a regular watcher and you haven't already, then subscribe. It doesn't cost any money. However, if you want to help support the podcast, you can also join as a member. The join button is below the window, and if you're on your phone, you will have to go into the description. That's on YouTube. If you're watching on Facebook, then please do share and like as well. And if you're watching on Twitter, give us a retweet and like as well. Brian's telling me that we've only got 56 likes on YouTube. Come on, hit that like button. Help us get to 300 likes on this video. If you help us get to that, then that helps share it amongst the YouTube community more so than other shows, and it helps get the word out there. We are back on Sunday for build-up and then, of course, full match reaction to the game. And then next week we've got the phone in, we've got build-ups, we've got the Rabble Extra on Friday. We've got so much content coming your way. So thank you to all the Super Chats tonight as well, helping support the podcast. It really does mean a lot, and it helps keep us going, and it helps us buy into new things and get things out to you as well. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Richie, Alex, thank you very much, and we'll see you all Sunday.
Sports Social Podcast Network.